Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As Lutherans, we may be a little uneasy with all this talk of the law. The Reformed brothers, of course, delight in it. All the language of must and ought and should and obedience and ordinance. And it's all the better for us Lutherans to hear it, therefore, perhaps. And it was not just the Jews who were given to an interest in the law. There's the story of the great Rabbi Hillel. And he was challenged one day by a Gentile. I will become your disciple if you can teach me the whole law while I stand on one foot. The rabbi replied, what you hate for yourself, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole law. The rest is commentary. Go and learn. That was quick. I can imagine the man hardly got his foot up. Nevertheless, there's something missing there that Jesus makes sure it's inserted. It is in terms of that clear use of the Shema, that opening part that was there in the Old Testament lesson, and Jesus as well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord is one. And then he goes on, you shall love the Lord your God, first of all, and then your neighbor. Jesus answers the man's question about the single one with a double one, as it were. But they're really not double at all. So, what's going on here then? The scribe may be an uneasy and an opposite way than the Lutheran. In other words, he wanted to hear something about the law that, well, no, we hear that he is satisfied, he is pleased with what God has given. Many of his colleagues may not have been. You see, the Pharisees objected in that the reorienting of the law, Jesus had made the lesser details of something unessential. They had multiplied the law. They had come up with extra laws. And Jesus, in a sense, cuts through them all. He had virtually abolished those. And this they could only see as the destruction of the law. Righteousness is not a matter of rule-keeping, but of total dedication to the will of the Father, the will of the God who is one. And the positive will of the Father is to be summed up in the difficult word of love. That in itself sticks in the craw of us all. Love is that word that covers it all. We hear it as a delightful word sometimes, but in actual fact it is a word that is compelling us to see God's full demand upon our lives. You see, this also comes about that here we find God, Jesus, telling us that there is a prior love, and that is the love of God, the one who is described here as the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The whole man is the object of divine love, and the whole man is thereby claimed by God for himself. And that's why there are these four nouns, heart, soul, mind, strength, everything about the whole being, and the emphasis upon the all, repeated every time. The stress upon the completeness of the response, because there's the completeness of the initial love of God. There's no measurement of that. There's no partiality. That is complete. It is whole. And our response is to be the same. And there we are in a bind, because we see that we are not capable of doing that in its perfection. What was it about the young man that caused him to go away? Jesus seemed so warmed by his response, and he seemed to be so positive about Jesus. Was it the fact that finally all of the laws, the details, which he thought he could maybe do, were summed up for him in a way that he knew he could not do them? When we hear the summary of the law in terms of all of the details, it's becoming non-essential, but there's this one word of love, that we are to do to God and to neighbor in complete totality of our being. Maybe that is the thing. And yet Jesus describes him in the most positive way. You are not far from the kingdom of God. He actually was in the presence of, and apparently already to some extent drawn toward him, who in his person and activity was that kingdom come to be near men. He was, in the words of earlier in Mark, kind of the auto-basileai, the self-kingdom. He is everything about the kingdom. He is the kingdom of God there in the midst, the rule of God in the midst of people. And so here, Jesus, who says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is the Lord is one. He is the one, the God, who is speaking now. And that kingdom of God, that rule of God, brings the whole of the law to bear, but is also the fulfillment of all that law for us. So the righteousness is not a matter of rule-keeping. It is a total dedication to the will of the Father. And who was able to do that but Jesus? Jesus himself was the one who was able in every way to fulfill all of that law for us. And if only the young man could see that as well. He was so near the kingdom, and yet he walked away. The kingdom of God then is the answer to the real question. What is the law? The law is where God's rule comes in our lives, first of all, to show us the heart of God, the love of God there in his heart. And once that is seen, once the Spirit of God opens us up to see that heart of God, that gracious God, then we too are able, with whole heart, mind, spirit, and soul, to fulfill that law in the sense that we have Christ. Jesus then is the one who is the fulfillment of the law for us, in us, and through us. And that is our great joy and delight this day as well. We hear the word of God about his law. It disturbs us as the law always does. It always accuses. But we hear it also from him who brings to us the kingdom of God. Whenever his word is declared, whenever we reach back to our baptism and daily receive the forgiveness of sins, when we take of his body and blood, there we find the kingdom of God in our midst, fully, completely, the rule of God for us and for our salvation today and all days. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through true faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.